بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن سلمان رضي الله عنه قال: خطبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في آخر يوم من شعبان فقال: يا أيها الناس، قد أضلكم شهر عظيم مبارك، شهر فيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر، شهر جعل الله صيامه فريضة وقيام ليلة تطوعا، من تقرب فيه بخصلة كان كمن أدى فريضة فيما سواه، ومن أدى فريضة فيه كان كمن أدى 70 فريضة فيما سواه، وهو شهر الصبر، والصبر ثوابه الجنة، وشهر المواساة، وشهر يزاد في رزق المؤمن فيه، من فطر فيه صائما كان مغفرة لذنوبه وعتق رقبته من النار، وكان له مثل أجره من غير أن ينقص من أجره شيء. قالوا: يا رسول الله، ليس كلنا يجد ما يفطر الصائم. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يعطي الله هذا الثواب من فطر صائما على تمرة أو شربة ماء أو مذقة لبن، وهو شهر أوله رحمة، وأوسطه مغفرة، وآخره عتق من النار، من خفف عن مملوكه فيه غفر الله له وأعتقه من النار. واستكثروا فيه من أربع خصال: خصلتين ترضون بهما ربكم، وخصلتين لا غناء بكم عنهما. فأما الخصلتان اللتان ترضون بهما ربكم فشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وتستغفرونه، وأما الخصلتان اللتان لا غناء بكم عنهما فتسألون الله الجنة وتعوذون به من النار. ومن أسقى صائما سقاه الله من حوضي شربة لا يظمأ حتى يدخل الجنة. As Salman radiallahu anhu reports, on the last day of Sha'ban, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed us and said, O people, there comes over you now a great month, a most blessed month in which lies a night more greater in virtue than 1,000 months. It is a month in which Allah has made compulsory that the days should be observed by fasting, and He has made sunnah the taraweeh by night. Whosoever intends drawing nearer to Allah by performing any virtuous deed, for him shall be the reward like him who had performed a fard at any other time. And whoever performs a fard, for him shall be the reward of 70 fard in any other time. This is indeed the month of patience, and the reward for true patience is Jannah. It is the month of sympathy with one's fellow men. It is the month wherein a true believer's rizq is increased. Whosoever feeds another who fasted in order to break the fast, for him there shall be forgiveness for his sins and emancipation from the fire of Jahannam, and for him shall be the same reward as for him who he fed, without that person's reward being decreased in the least. Thereupon we said, Ya Rasulullah, not all of us possess the means whereby we can give a fasting person to break his fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Allah grants the same reward to him who gives a fasting person to break the fast a mere date, or a drink of water, or a sip of milk. This is a month, the first of which brings Allah's mercy, the middle of which brings His forgiveness, and the last of which brings emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. Whosoever lessens the burden of his servants in this month, Allah will forgive him and free him from the fire of Jahannam. And in this month, four things you should continue to perform in great number, two of which shall be to please Allah, while the other two shall be those without which you cannot do. Those which shall be to please Allah are that you should in great quantity bear witness that there is no deity to worship except Allah, that is, recite kalima tayyiba la ilaha illallah, and make much istighfar. And as for those without which you cannot do, you should beg of Allah entrance into Jannah and seek refuge in Him from Jahannam. And whoever gave a person who fasted water to drink, whereafter he shall never again feel thirsty until he enters paradise. As the Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi then commentates on this hadith and mentions, all the points to which this hadith draws attention have further emphasized in numerous ahadith on the great virtues of Ramadan. Quite a number of important points are brought to our notice. Firstly, it should be noted that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam delivered the sermon at the end of the month of Sha'ban, the obvious reason being that he intended to put into our minds the great importance of Ramadan, so that we on our side could remember and not allow one second of it to go by without giving it the true spirit it deserved. Thereafter, attention is drawn to Laylatul Qadr, about which more is said later. Then attention is drawn to the fact that fasting has been made obligatory and compulsory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who also made sunnah that is the Taraweeh Salah by night. From this hadith it is noted that the command for Taraweeh prayers too comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. All the authorities of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah agreed upon the fact that Taraweeh is sunnah. Rais Marasha Abdul Haq Dehlawi rahmatullahi alayhi wrote in his book that should the people of any town fail to perform Taraweeh prayers, the Muslim ruler should make them do so by force. Here one point should be noted. Many are of the opinion that one may listen to the Quran being recited in a certain masjid, whereafter the virtue of sunnah will have been attained. This is wrong. There are two things. Firstly, it is sunnah to hear the full Quran being recited in Taraweeh in Ramadan. Secondly, it is sunnah to perform Taraweeh Salah throughout Ramadan. Both should be performed with care. In other words, the recitation of Taraweeh Salah is sunnah, and to make khatam of Quran Sharif in Taraweeh Salah is another sunnah. As for those who are on a journey and unable to perform both sunnah because of not knowing where they will be at different places, then it is advisable that in the first few days of Ramadan they should have the full Quran read in Taraweeh, so that it does not remain incompletely recited. Then they should attend Taraweeh wherever they find the opportunity. Another point brought to our notice in the hadith is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed us that any nafil deed in Ramadan is rewarded as much as a fard in normal times, whereas a fard in Ramadan carries the reward of 70 fara'id of other times. At this point we should ponder over our ibadah. How much importance do we attach to it in Ramadan? How much nafil do we perform? As for fard deeds, we observe how numerous people, how many people, who after having eaten sahri, get back into bed with the result that Fajr Salah goes by without being performed. Many perform it but not with jama'ah. It gives the impression that we give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the food we had eaten at sahri by not performing the most important fard or by not performing it with jama'ah. It remains incomplete. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that there is no salah for those near the masjid except in the masjid. In one kitab we find that when a person without any valid excuse performs salah without jama'ah, the fard has been performed. However, reward for the salah is not received. Similarly, in numerous cases, at the time of iftar, maghrib salah is missed. And many who do come to the masjid miss the takbir at the beginning or miss the first rak'ah. Many people, because of the Taraweeh Salah, even perform Isha Salah before the time. Some do not pay any attention to Salah even in Ramadan. That is the way we look after our ibadah in Ramadan. Sometimes in order to perform one fard, three are destroyed. How often do we not see even Dhuhr Salah going by because we are asleep, while Asr goes by because we are too busy in buying, selling and cooking to prepare for iftar. If such is the case with the fara'id, then we can imagine how much less importance is given to the nafil actions. One finds that because of sleep, Salatul Ishraq after sunrise and Salatul Duha before noon go by. Then what about Salatul Awabin just after Maghrib? Here we find ourselves busy with iftar, and when thinking about Taraweeh after about an hour, this Salah too is wasted. Further, we find that for Salatul Tahajjud, the time is the same as that for Sahri, with the result that this too goes by. One may make a thousand excuses for not finding time for these nawafil, yet we see that there are many who do find the time to do all these ibadah during this precious moment. I personally had observed my teacher, Malana Khalil Ahmed rahmatullah alayhi, during many Ramadans. He was a weak and sickly person of advanced age, but in spite of that, he used to read 1 1/4 juz of the Quran in Nafil Salah after Maghrib. Thereafter, he used to eat for about half an hour. After performing all other necessities in preparation for Taraweeh Salah, he used to stand in Taraweeh for about 2.5 hours while in India, and for 3 hours while residing in Medina Munawwara. Thereafter, he used to sleep for about 2 or 3 hours according to the season. Then again, he used to recite the Quran in Tahajjud Salah until about half an hour before Fajr. Then he ate sahri. From that time until Fajr, he remained busy with recitation of the Qur'an or reciting of wazifas. With the grayness of dawn, he performed Fajr Salah, whereafter he remained in Muraqabah until Ishraq. Having performed Ishraq, he used to write for his famous book, Badr al-Majhud, Commentary on Abu Dawood. Then he normally attended to letters and dictating replies. From Asr until Maghrib, he used to be busy with thinking and answering the queries of those who visited him. When he completed his kitab, he used to be busy studying some book, some religious work. This was his daily program throughout the year. In Ramadan, however, he used to spend a bit more time in his ibadah, making dhikrs longer. Our other great saintly men used to make the same care, or even more. Shaykh al-Hind, Maulana Mahmud al-Hasan, rahmatullahi, used to remain in Nafil Salah from after Taraweeh until Fajr, while also listening to the Qur'an recited by various Hufaz, one after the other. Maulana Shah Abdul Rahim Raipuri, rahmatullahi, remained busy with tilawa of the Qur'an Kareem day and night throughout Ramadan. There used to be no time for attending to letters or meeting the visitors. Only his very special ones were allowed to wait on him after Taraweeh for a short period while he drank a cup of tea. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to value this month of Ramadan and attain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.